community radio station. You're listening to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Hello and happy Tuesday. You're listening to Focus on Business and I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's show, we are going to get you organized. It's National Get Organized Month and I am pleased to have in the studio with me one of our local gurus of organization, Eileen Stevie of Stevie Organizing Services Incorporated. That's appropriately acronymed SOS. Because when you're disorganized, you need to phone a friend, and Eileen's one of the greatest people to work with in getting organized in your business or in your personal life. She's able to help us identify the problems and provide creative organizing solutions to reduce the stress of clutter and disorganization and just minimizing your time wasted. We don't have time to waste anymore. And if we spend our time looking for everything, and okay, we're all going to look for something at some time, our keys, our coat, today our gloves. We waste time in our business. Every moment wasted is a moment we're not doing what we're in business to do. So whether we're looking for a file or a document or we're looking for some other tool that we need to know where it's at and we need to be organized. At home, it's just as important for us to get organized and not have too much clutter around. A decluttered life is a life that's easier to live, in my opinion. And so let me tell you a little bit more about Eileen and what she does. Eileen is a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers. Almost 12 years, apparently, since 2002, she's been a member. She's a member of the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, or ICD, since 2003. She's certified in professional or a certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization. I think I know a lot of those chronic disorganized people. She's a founding member of the National Association of Professional Organizers, North Carolina chapter. And she has been a contributing author to Exploring Productivity by Network for Productivity Excellence. She has a weekly column on the Carry Home Times. And she's a contributing author to the newsletter of the Wake County Paralegal Association. Impressive credentials for our organizing guest today. Eileen, I want to thank you for being on the show today. First, tell us a little bit about National Get Organized Month. What is it? What's happening? And what can we expect?
First of all, thank you, Lee, for having me today. And Get Organized Month. It used to be in October, and they moved it to January because typically January is when you make all those resolutions. Typically, number one is lose weight, and number two is get organized. So it's in January now, and many of the chapters of the National Association of Professional Organizers have special events that they do in January, help a business get organized or a charity or have public speaking engagements. That's what our chapter used to do at Barnes & Noble. And just promote the fact that there are organizers out there. There are people that still don't know that organizers exist and can help them get organized. So it helps promote the industry and let people know that there's help out there if they are chronically disorganized or just need to organize their closet. And so
I think organization is kind of on everyone's minds. As you said, it's one of our resolutions. And one of the biggest things when we have a resolution or we decided, okay, January, we're going to get our stuff together. We're going to get our files organized, we're going to clean out our closet, whatever it is. Where is that starting point? Because sometimes the piles are just so big that it's hard to find the starting point. So how does someone start getting organized?
Well, if I had a dollar for every time someone said, I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, and I don't know where to start, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be in Hawaii. Because that is what I hear. That's everyone's mantra. I don't know where to start. And
so what do you tell them?
Well, it's first of all, it's the person making the decision that, okay, I've had enough. My life's a mess, or the house is a mess, or my business files are a mess, whatever it is, and I have to make a change. And it all starts with the person. It all starts with their brain saying, okay, we got to do something, and then either asking for help, getting more information. And then you have to, just like anything else, you have to have a goal.
Right.
I always
We've talked
people,
about goal setting already this year.
I've talked to, first things I ask my someone when they call is, what's your goal for that, for your situation? Is it clearing out the file cabinets so you can find things, setting up a new system? You've had it with the piles on the kitchen counter, you can't find things there. What's the goal? And then you have to plan a time when you're going to work on that. People will say, well, someday I'm going to get organized, or someday I'm going to do this or that, and someday
never comes.
It doesn't exist. There's the 7 days of the week, but one of them is not called someday. So it just
great point.
So they have to. I tell them, make an appointment with yourself. You know, Tuesday morning, 9 to 11. Exit out on your calendar. Someone says, "Hey, you want to go out Tuesday morning?" You say, "Gee, you know what? I have an appointment." They don't have to know it's with yourself, but you have put something down on paper. And you've made a decision to work on it. And then you go into that, you know, if it's the room where you've been throwing things for 5 years and you can't get the door open hardly anymore, you stand in that, open that door, stand in the doorway and pick something up, whatever it is, look at it, and then make a decision. And you've started.
What is that decision when you pick that up, item up? What's the best way to frame out that decision? Keep it?
Donate it. Donate, sell, or
dispose
is one thing. Keep it because it means something to you, and it's like, oh, I was looking for this. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that too. Or toss, because it's trash, you don't need it. And there's a whole range of questions you can ask yourself about the object. Do you love it? Do you need it? Do you use it? When was the last time you used it? Do you have many of these, whatever it is? But just to pick something up, take a hard look at it, and maybe in the beginning you're not 100% sure what you're going to do with it, but you could start those piles, keep, donate, trash, and kind of go from there.
So I've watched organizing shows on TV, I have to confess. I find them kind of fascinating because in my business life, I have to be almost over-organized because I want to get a lot done. I don't want to spend my time worrying about where something's filed or if I can find it. But on the personal life, I'm not quite as organized as I am in the business life. So I'm not color coding my personal calendar, but I do my business calendar. So if someone needs to make an appointment with themselves, what if they're so disorganized that they can't even start there? How do you coach them through that? What process can you do to get them to actually take that step to set the time aside?
Well, if someone has actually called me about my services, then the first thing I do is set a consultation with them so I can see what they're talking about.
Okay.
Because everyone's definition of clutter is different. You have some people who are freaked out by a couple of papers on their kitchen table.
Okay.
And they're all upset. How do I do this? And then you have the hoarding situations where there's little goat pads in the house and their person living there is just fine with it. And there's nothing wrong. So you have the whole gamut. You know, people call and say, oh, I'm the queen of clutter, the king of clutter. And I get there and it's like, you're really not that bad, because after doing it for almost 12 years, I have a whole range of experience and I can say, oh, you know, you need some help, but it's not that bad. I know it's overwhelming you, but I've seen a lot worse. So I try to make them feel better, first of all,
okay,
so that they don't feel so bad. And everyone, when I have a class or a seminar and 15 people, I just had one a few weeks ago where 31 people showed up. And I always tell them, I said, see, you thought you were the only one that had this problem, didn't you? And it's just rampant in our society. And so I try to make them feel more comfortable. I schedule the consultation, take a look at it, see what kind of resources they need. And if they need help, because some clients do need help with time management, along with the organization and the paper management, there's a lot of different pieces to it. I tell people there's four kinds of clutter: paper clutter, stuff clutter, space clutter, and then time clutter, space, stuff, and mental clutter.
Okay. So don't you think a lot of times our mental clutter leads to some of the other?
Oh yeah, definitely. But to me, the mental clutter is also when people are hanging on to grudges and things from way in the past, and they're still talking about it, they're still dwelling on it, and there's nothing they can do about it, but they're still dragging around with them. And so I try to
help them work through that too.
Get through that.
So let's take a situation. Let's mm-hmm. say we have a small business. They run out of a home office, so they're kind of constrained, but things have kind of started spreading from that one designated area, whether it's the dining room table, the spare bedroom, the office basement, the office. How do you get them to come in? How do you assess that with them and then help start setting some goals for that?
Well, first is usually space. If they are trying to get 5 pounds of something into a 1 pound bag, try to explain that's physics. That's not going to work.
Right.
So we have to make some decisions on maybe you do need to move to a bigger room, or a great way to create more space in a situation is vertical space. So you maybe think about getting bookshelves, because you can always store a lot more up a wall than you can on a flat horizontal space. So that's first thing, is to assess how much stuff is there with the space, and maybe move to another room, or to start actually going around. Sometimes a lot of people have too much stuff in a room, too many desks and different items and file cabinets.
Too much stuff, too much real furniture in the real estate that they have to operate from.
Right.
That may not
too
be needed.
Too many places where they can put things. And instead of creating little containers for things where people can consolidate things, they have, and people love office products. Absolutely love office products. I have a client that could probably open a staple store, because she just, every time I go, she's got more office things. So a lot of times they are trying to get organized, so the first thing they do is go out and buy stuff. And when I'm working with a client or trying to help someone, you have to follow certain steps when you're getting organized. And
what are those steps?
For my thing, every organizer seems to have their own acronym. Mine is CEO.
Okay.
So you want to be the CEO of your life. So C stands for categorize.
Okay.
And that is when we're working, cleaning out an office or something, we're categorizing things. I try to tell people, you're getting like objects together. You don't have to do minute organizing. We're doing a general sort. So what we're doing when we're going around the office cleaning up, we're finding the bottles of whiteout and the pens and pencils and the cartridges for the printer and different things. And those are office supplies.
Okay.
So that's just put
over. You're talking
over
about major categories.
Yes. So you put those in a box or somewhere in the room. Then you go around the room and you're picking up the papers and you're maybe the client files and you're putting those together in one area.
Tax receipts, accounting things.
Receipts are huge with people.
Yes, I'm always getting on clients about not having the receipts.
They're all over the place. They're all over the house and from 3 years ago. And, nothing's organized in that respect. And then once you get things categorized, and this goes for closets, kitchens, wherever you are, you want to categorize things first. Then you eliminate, that's the E.
Okay.
Eliminate the whiteout that's dried up, or the pens that don't write, or cartridges that, take them back and recycle them or whatever.
Right.
Things like that. And then you want to work on your files. Maybe there's things, a lot of times time takes care of some things for us, because we find the paper that we should have RSVP'd 3 weeks ago and we forgot about it, so we can throw that stuff away.
Right.
And then the last thing you do is organize, because now you know how many office products you have, and now you can go out and buy a container to contain those items instead of buying random boxes and baskets, and that's what people have all over their offices, the letter stackers and the
right
things hanging on the doors. And
but it was cute and it was on sale.
Right, and it looked neat, and it was a new system. The other thing is, when you're getting organized, you're changing habits, and that is a huge piece of the problem, because I've read where it takes 21 to 30 days to change a habit.
Right.
Some of my clients say it's 90 days. So, but when you're throwing things in one place or putting things somewhere and all of a sudden you want to get organized and you're going to do this now, you have to set aside some time to change that habit so it becomes automatic. And that's just really hard for humans to do sometimes.
Yeah, I challenged everyone on the first show of the year a couple weeks ago that setting a goal and working on it 10 minutes a day, if you can just dedicate 10 minutes a day at the end of the week, if you do six of the days, you've had an hour working on that goal. And we could do the same approach then for categorizing, cleaning, and organizing.
Right. I usually tell people to, if they don't know where to start and that whole ball of wax, set a timer. Use a timer, and I'll say just set it for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And for 15 minutes, you are totally focused on what you're working on, which is the other key piece. So you're not talking on the phone, talking to other people, you know, doing laundry, cooking, and also cleaning out the junk drawer, because you're not focused on what you're doing. So if you can focus for 15 minutes, sometimes when that dings, you're amazed at what you're able to get through. And if you get in the flow and no one's interrupting you and you have the time and you're really making progress, there's no reason why you can't do another 15 minutes or another 15 minutes. But at least people bite off more than they can chew, and then they get frustrated. Like,
and then they stop.
Yeah, I'm not leaving this office till I go through every paper on this desk. And there's mountains of papers, and they work on it for 20 minutes, and then they're out of there because your brain is on overload.
Right. So. Completely understandable. So if we're sitting here, we've categorized. And let's say we're talking about receipts. And so this is a person that has just had them scattered everywhere. What kind of recommendation would you give to them to make something simple, to have their receipts all end up in the same place and change that habit of just putting them anywhere?
Okay, well, I usually recommend a basket or a box. So when they're emptying their pockets or their wallets or purses or whatever at the end of the night, they can at least contain the receipts in a box or some kind of container. And you want to start out simple. You can always make things more complicated, which as humans we seem to do a lot. But a very simple system is just to get even a small expanding file, label it January through December, and just throw all... Now, right now, I'm just putting all my receipts in January.
Right.
And then in February, you put all... And then at least when you have to go back, if you're going to return something, which seems to be a problem with some people too, you at least know, I brought it in January. So it may take you a few minutes to look through all those receipts because they're jumbled in there, but at least they're contained in something, and then you know where to look. They're not in your pants pockets and in your bedroom and some thrown in the kitchen and all over the place.
And you find them 3 years later when it doesn't do you any good in your business,
right,
to use it as a tax deduction.
Some people you can scan receipts in now with, there's different machines out there.
I use a Neat Receipts scanner.
Okay, I have a ScanSnap Fujitsu, so it does the same thing.
Yeah,
and
so
keep track of them, and then you don't need the paper and you can get rid of them. I mean, you don't need to keep your grocery receipts.
Past your time, you reconcile your credit card for the month. If it tied out,
you can get rid of this.
That's
right. You can't deduct your food from income tax. So, I mean, your groceries. So.
Unfortunately. So we're sitting there. We've categorized. We know we need to eliminate. We've talked about the four kind of piles there of keep it,
toss it, sell it, toss it. Yeah.
And we're getting ready to walk into Staples. We're getting ready to get organized, or we're going to get into Office Depot or wherever we're going to go, or the Container Store where there's just so many containers.
Right.
How do we contain ourselves from picking the wrong thing or something that's not practical or something we just, you know, it looks really cool? How do we discipline ourselves or identify the containers that we need to come back and do a simple system to start?
Well, that's difficult because, like, there are too many choices for a lot of things. as we live in America, where there's land of many choices of everything. So I would just – I offer to go shopping with some of my clients so they don't get off on a different track and get too many things. And sometimes I will pick up things and bring them to a client so that I've already eliminated the fact that
the
they
temptation.
Have to wander through things. Yeah. But if they do go in there on their own to just save the receipt, because just about anywhere you go, you can take it back, and if it doesn't work out. And then just go home and try it out and see if it works. So it's crazy out there with all the choices that we have.
Well, I know. You walk in, and let's just say someplace like the Container Store has all these options for your office.
Right.
And you stand there and you look at it and it's like, well, yeah, that would really organize that. And I was thinking, but how many of those do I really have? That's not really my organization thing. Or it's a roll. I bought portable rolling files so I could have some of the hanging files handy. But then realized, like you were saying, that took up real estate. I didn't want to give up in the middle of the floor. So then I was sorting through the file cabinet drawers, trying to condense that down to make space for prospect files. And it's kind of like an iterative process, isn't it? You learn what works, mm-hmm. and it works differently for each person.
Right. Every person is different. And you have to be flexible, like with the changing your habit. At the end of 30 days, sometimes I'll give people a habit calendar, I call it, where I've highlighted 30 days from the time we started working on this particular thing that they're trying to change. And at the end of 30 days, if it's still not working, then you have to be flexible and make some changes and see why it's not working, and it's not in a convenient spot or whatever the case may be. But when you're getting organized, you just have to be flexible. You try an arrangement. If it doesn't work, then you rework it and try it again. And a lot of people are upset by having to make a lot of decisions. Because sometimes for some people, it's very difficult to make a decision. They have to be perfect, so you get in that whole perfectionism thing. And if it's not perfect, then they get upset. But I just tell them, just relax, and we just got to try this and see how it works. And if it doesn't, we'll make some changes.
So what I see with dealing with a lot of clients, I will go in, especially, I'm going to say, creative clients. We were talking about this before the show started. And they think the piles and the papers and all the things that are around them helps their creative process because it's there and it's just a byproduct of it. How do you overcome kind of that expectation or that environment, that belief that the clutter is creative versus the clutter is distraction?
Well, a lot of times if they've called me, then they know that there's something wrong because they're not as productive as they used to be. And I always have people say, well, don't touch any of these piles because I know exactly where everything is. And the piles may be 2.5 feet high or something. And they're all over the place. And I'll say, okay, I'm just not going to give you a time limit when I need you to find something, because they will find it eventually. Mm-hmm. And your brain is really good at remembering things, but it does not remember where every single paper is. And you may think it was in this pile, but it's really over in that pile. So just think of all the time you're wasting looking through these piles. And I would say that there is one of the office products companies did start a piling system, because piling is the most
popular personality type.
To file these days. You have today's pile, last week's pile, last month's pile, last year's pile. And they created a system where you put a plastic sleeve between the piles, and then you could write on the edge of the sleeve what that pile was below that sleeve. And so I guess they figured they can't beat us, so they're going to join us. But I have not seen
that one. I'm not sure I could. I would be tempted to tip the pile over to get to something. So I
don't want to argue with people. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help them, which is another thing. If they do call me, I do the consultation. We set up an appointment, but then when I get there, everything is, no, I have to save that. I have to keep this. And there's not going to be anything leaving the place. Then sometimes they're not ready to let go, and they're not ready to get organized, even though they may really want to be. And so it's hard, but I try to tell people about their productivity. If their productivity is down because they're constantly looking through these piles. And another thing people tell me is, if I file it, I will never remember where it is. When it's in the file cabinet, it's totally gone out of my mind, and I don't
out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
And you'll go buy another one because you didn't know where you put it.
Okay. Right. And so I will say, well, I have people that are innies and outies.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered this over the year. The innies are everything's away. The place looks great, but just don't open anything.
Don't open the closet door. Everything will fall out.
You're right.
Okay.
And then the outies are everything is out, because if they put it away, they won't be able to find it, except then there's so much visual clutter, they still can't find it. So you have to find a kind of happy medium between the two. If there is old stuff out that can be archived, then you archive it, but you create an inventory sheet, and you keep that right on your desk. So when you're looking for something, you go, oh, I put it over here, and then you can look for it. So you have the daily important stuff out, but the stuff you're not using very often gets put in a file cabinet or something that you can access easily.
Now, I've seen all these recommendations in magazines and things for the labelers. mm-hmm. where you print out a label and you put it on the drawer, you put it out there. How effective do you find those types of visual cues and those kind of things in getting organized?
I recommend labeling to clients because even like you said, if you clean out your office, Saturday morning, I'm going to clean out my office, I'm going to rearrange it, fix everything up, and then you move stuff around, and then you opening the wrong drawer all day because you move
you're used
stuff
to it
the
being
other.
Yeah.
So if you put little sticky notes on, even if it's just for a week or two, again, it's that habit of always reaching to a certain place, and now you've moved it because it's a different arrangement. If you put a little few sticky notes, then you know where to look for things. I've done that. I actually have a client where we worked in her bedroom, and I worked on her dresser, and so I left sticky notes on all the drawers where socks and things were and mm-hmm. moved things around, and they are still there. That was 2 months ago.
Well, and it's,
but it helps it helps you remember.
Yeah, because you're used to going to the second file cabinet drawer for that client file, but all the others in the A through C grew, so that moved down a couple drawers. And you're right, you keep going back, that habit of it was in that drawer.
It also helps if there's other people in the house, like if you've got the kids and the husband and the wife and everybody's putting things somewhere else. If you label it and give things at home, it's got a 50-50 chance of getting back there. You still have the kids never put anything away kind of thing going on. My husband puts it over here, and I want it over there. But at least if you label it.
It gets in the vicinity.
Yeah. And I did a kitchen one time with a client where she had 5 kids, and every time they emptied the dishwasher, things went everywhere. And she couldn't find anything. So we spent a day organizing the kitchen, and on each cabinet drawer or door, we had a list of what went in that cabinet. So when the kids opened it up, they knew what places where things went. So
that's a good idea, especially the more people that touch things, the more disorganized,
right.
And everybody organizes differently. It's a different approach. We mentioned it last week when we were talking about Myers-Briggs personality types, that the difference between the J and the P, the judging and perceiving, is
right.
also how you organize information,
right?
And it's a challenge that if you're a perceiver, I like pegged to the max, and I say perceivers are pilers, and I resemble that right now in part of my life. But in the workplace, I very much operate with color-coded files and classification folders and all those kind of things. And I've been building a new reference library for my Christian writing and getting reference books, seeing what's out there, and I'm in seminary too. So it's just like multiplying. I got 2 new bookcases. And then how do I organize those books? And so I created a spreadsheet. So I know mm-hmm. if I have picked up that reference book, I may not know which shelf it's on at the moment because I have not alphabetized them or anything. But I do know I do have the books somewhere in the house and trying to segregate things.
Yeah.
But going up, I had to find bookcases. As you said, I was running out of space. And you had 10 or 12 foot ceilings. And, so now I have taller bookcases.
Yeah.
And making sure I'm going up. And knowing that I only have so much real estate to use with that. So people will often tell you I'm overly organized. I had an IT company tell me that one time that I was so organized about it, it was creating chaos for them. I said, no, you're just copying files and they're all in folders. And that lets me know electronically
right.
with my Outlook calendar color coding, mm-hmm. with my Outlook emails, I have file folders for clients and I can look for that, or I have the radio show file folder for guests coming in like
right.
yourself. And so being able to access that information and know that structure. But I can't impose that structure on anyone else. I can show it to a client. But it's really you have to evolve. And if you're not inclined yeah. that way, work with someone like yourself mm-hmm. to find your own processes and your own systems.
Yeah, I often recommend color coding to people because it's a very, very visual system. So if you're putting the red folder in with the green folders, it's going to stand out right away. And each person in the family can have a color, and that so that really helps people. So.
I used to use fluorescent glow-in-the-dark file folders. There were 4 colors in the pack. They came in a pack of 12, 3 of each color then, to prompt the rest of the executive team at the startup I was at, that they had to get back that file folder back to me every 24 hours. If I was out of file folders, that meant they were 3 days behind. And I would go to them and say, I need your file folders. I need your signatures on those documents. I need those documents. Well, I don't think I got them. And it's like you could stand in their office
yeah.
door and see the glowing files and say 1, 2, and 3. Amongst the piles, they stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really good visual prompt for all of us. Me, I didn't have to nag quite as much
mm-hmm.
to say, get the folder back, because they knew I was going to find it sitting somewhere in the piles of their desk just by that visual cue.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to take a break.
Okay.
And so when we come back from the break, we will talk more about disorganization and what we need to get our lives and our businesses in shape. And we will be right back. WCOM would like to thank our underwriters, our Golden Voice underwriter, The Forest Firm, sophisticated legal advice with customized solutions to meet your organization's needs, full-service corporate legal resources focused on the lawyer-client relationship. Learn more about The Forest Firm at www.forestfirm.com. Also thanking Harrington Bank, your community bank in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank provides a unique and enjoyable banking experience. Harrington Bank is your neighbor. Get to know them at www.bankatharrington.com. That's www.bankatharrington.com. We're also thanking IWP Photography and Video. Capture the important moments of your life and events, weddings, and more. For more information, visit IWP Photography's website, www.iwpphotography.com. And we're also thanking Golden Voice Underwriter Focus Resources. Get practical business advice on how to start, fund, grow, and run your business. Focus Resources also specializes in government grants and contracts. For more information, visit them at www.focusresourcesinc.com. That's www.focusresourcesinc.com. And we'd also like to talk about some of our community nonprofits. Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina, serving the Triangle. You can support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina by going to visit their website, which is www.eastnc.wish.org, or call them at 1-800-432-WISH. That's 1-800-432-9474. And finally, we'd like to remind you about the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. They need you. Visit the Ronald McDonald House of Durham to learn more about how you can help. Their website is www.ronaldhousedurham.org. That's www.ronaldhousedurham.org. Or call them at 919-281-1065. And we're back. You're listening to Focus on Business with Lee Strickland. And our guest today is Eileen Stevie of Stevie Organizing Services, Inc. That's SOS, Inc. I love that. When you're disorganized, your life just does not flow like it should. And we really need to get connected, to get rid of the clutter, to get organized here in January. And it is National Get Organized Month. So it's a good time to start. And before the break, we were talking about the tools and techniques that we can use to do that. We've talked about the home office. Let's talk about if you're going to relocate your office or if you need to move your house, different things we want to do. We don't want to move junk. We don't want to move stuff. It's expensive to move. So can you give us some tips and techniques to help us through that process of, one, getting ready to move, and then getting set up again on the other end once we have moved?
Okay, I'll do that. But first, I just wanted to mention a statistic about filing.
Okay, that'd be great.
80% of what people file, they never look at again.
Ouch.
And they've done numerous studies on this, so it's a pretty standard statistic. So that's what I tell people. The trick is knowing what that 20% is, and I always recommend people to purge their files at least once a year. Typically, they're rooting through everything at income tax time, so it's a great time to sit down and maybe look at the file that they haven't looked at in a long time and maybe get rid of that. So,
well, you mentioned the junk drawer. I heard a news story this week, too, about a junk drawer causing a fire, a paperclip, a post-it note, and a 9-volt battery.
Oh, really?
Apparently, the paperclip touched the 9-volt battery and connected, transmitted the energy into that post-it note, sparked it, and set the house on fire.
Wow.
So another reason to get motivated right now to start with your junk drawer if you start with nothing else, and make sure you don't have a 9-volt battery in the junk drawer near a paperclip and a post-it note.
There you go.
So if we're
okay,
going
to... so you're going to move.
We're a home office. We've grown. We now can move out of our home office, whether it's our garage, our basement, whatever, the spare bedroom or the kitchen table. And now, one, we need to move into the space we've got. We want to use it to the most effect, but we don't want to take that 80% of the stuff we don't need with us. What kind of process can we go through to, as we're packing to move, as we're looking at the new space to set it up, what kind of mental image or map can we create using your CEO system to get started correctly in the new space?
Well, when people are moving, the first thing I tell them is when you move, you touch everything twice.
Okay.
So once when you pack it.
And once when you unpack it.
So if you're packing it and you haven't touched it in 5 years, then why are you packing it? Because then it's expensive to move. Whether you get somebody off Craigslist or even do it yourself, because if you do it yourself, then you're taking up your time, and how much is your time worth? And, you know, are you using that the most productive way, or just get somebody else to do it? And if you hire someone, then it's going to cost money. So you don't want to move stuff that you don't use or need anymore. And so when you're packing, you want to look at everything and ask yourself all those questions. You know, is this the best way I could keep this stuff? Can I scan it in so I don't have to move all these files and things like that? Is it the most useful the most up-to-date information? Or, you know, today we have the internet, so people used to keep all kinds of information out of magazines and articles.
That 30-year-old business law textbook sitting on the shelf.
That's right. Right. People have their textbooks from their college days. And I always tell people, you know, that all helped you become who you are today, but you got to create space in your life for some new stuff to come in. So maybe you think about letting go of some of the older stuff.
So looking at dates, expiration dates, publication dates, yeah, how old is that client file?
Right. When people are keeping, I'm moving a couple clients. Two are moving to Atlanta, and one is just moving to assisted living. But they have books about financial issues, like, you know, estate planning and just investing.
Right.
And you look at the copyright, it's 1978, and a lot of stuff has changed since 1978.
Amen.
So anything financial and medical, I will always tell people, just let it go, because things are changing so quickly in both of those areas. You don't want to read old information, medical information, that doesn't really, could even harm you today. So.
Right.
Let's get rid of all that stuff about pills and all kinds of other stuff, and let's deal with some up-to-date information. So,
well, I see in client offices magazines, piles of technical and professional magazines, or local business magazines or newspapers. How can we set up a system that we take what is needed from it, something that we want to keep? Is it best to scan it? Do we tear it out and put it in a file folder? It doesn't matter as long as it works for us, is it?
Well, I usually try to tell people to, if you're getting more magazines in than you can possibly get through in the month, it's time to look at some of that stuff and maybe make some decisions on canceling some subscriptions or something. Because we are constantly inundated. This is the information overload that everyone has to deal with. The news is on 24 hours a day. It used to be on like a half hour in the evening. If you missed it, that was it.
Yep.
But now it's on 24 hours a day. You can get it on the internet and the television, your phone, everywhere. We get papers. As soon as you open your mailbox, there's more information coming in. And then you've got magazines and newspapers, and we've all seen what's happened with newspapers. And now you can see that kind of happening in the magazine, especially like popular magazines, not so much professional journals, but popular magazines are getting skinnier and skinnier, and things like Newsweek have totally disappeared. So, and I try to convince people, first of all, look at what's coming in and what realistic amount of time do you have to look at that stuff. And then I suggest to people, if you can rip and read, you've at least gone through it. I rip and read things.
Define what rip and read means.
Rip and read is when you just sit down with the magazine and you're paging through it. You're not reading every article, every ad. You're just looking through it and you go, oh, that's an interesting article, or gee, that's an interesting idea or something, or maybe if you're redecorating your home, that's a neat picture of a kitchen or something. So you rip it out, and right there you have right next to you is a file folders, and you label it, put that thing in it. I do that with my reading, so when I go on a trip, and I'm on the plane, I have a read-to-read folder. And for me, traveling on, you know, it's so crazy to travel these days. So if I can pick up an article and read it in 15 minutes while I'm waiting for the plane that's late or something, that's, to me, better than trying to get into a novel and then I have to stop and start and start.
Right.
And start. So I keep this little to-read folder with me, and then I have little articles stapled together, so I'll read something and I'll either make some notes on it or just throw it out, because now it doesn't even pertain to what's going on. And with magazines, too, you have to remember the person that wrote that article probably wrote that 6 months ago. And now if you're holding on to that magazine for another 6 months, it's already a year old. And a lot of things change.
They're changing by the minute, technology. And
as far as technical journals, I know it's tough keeping up with those. I've worked with some doctors and lawyers, and there's a lot of reading to do. And again, it's just a matter of that's time management more than anything else about when are you going to sit down, at least scan these things, see if there's anything that pertains to you, and then let it go.
Right. Well, and that's a really great tip, because we do, travel is something that we spend a lot of can be wasted time and getting into a client file, or, you know, I use it to generate articles. If I can find 15 minutes, I can get a pretty good start on what I call a brain dump article. Something that's been bugging me, I can get it out and send it to the editor, and I have enough words there for her to nice do the nice cleanup jobs. But to be able to take a simple file folder with us, and then we can dispose of the what we don't want to keep as we go.
And then, especially with popular magazines, you can see how much of it is advertising and how much of it really is nothing.
I think it's 20% content and 80% advertising now. So a lot of the things I've done is I shifted from the paper versions, because quite frankly, just the access to that when I'm traveling, I like to get it on my iPad, and I'm not really fond of the smell of the soy ink, to be perfectly honest. But now what I find out is, because I subscribed electronically to things, my emails are just like skyrocketing, right? Where
right.
you have 50 things coming in a week that are technical journals or this group or that group's updates on legislation or whatever. And yet I file folder it, but yet when it gets into those electronic publication file folders, in that case, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and I get in it. And so how do you catch up with it? How do you manage that? How do you winnow down, again, all that information that's coming down electronically and manage that and don't have it take over your day because it takes you 2 hours to get through your email?
Oh, I know. It's a huge time suck out of your life when you sit down and you want to just do email for 15 minutes, and an hour later you're still struggling through stuff. And it's so many things are supposed to be time-saving, and instead we spend more time doing some of these things.
I think we were supposed to – I heard a few years ago we were going to be paperless.
Yeah, that's right.
And efficient with all of this stuff. And I swear I have more paper since we've gone paperless.
Right.
Because not everybody allows you. The government still, a lot of the systems, you have to keep your hard copies. And – the electronic stuff just takes you so long to get through that I have actually found myself printing out emails to stick in a file to take with me to a restaurant so that I can unplug from the computer screen and save my eyes for a little while and get through some information. Any tips on organizing that and kind of deal? I mean, I'm a rules person. I have the Outlook rules, and it goes to a file folder. But then I looked down this morning, and one of those file folders of what I needed to read since Sunday has 300 emails on it.
Wow.
And it's just...
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming to look at it and figure it out. And I keep trying. Mm-hmm. I keep trying to use as much technology as possible to manage that. But it's still...
It's really hard. And, well, I always tell people to create the paper files they have. The name should match the electronic files they've created. So
okay.
That's easier to... If they do have old stuff in paper files, they can still find it if they're putting things in electronic files.
That's a good recommendation, that if you have a... Like, I have a guest file for the show, and so I know current guests, what I'm still prompting for that. But I even find having myself putting a post-it note on the outside to tell me what's in that folder so I can quickly look at the guest folder and say, okay, this is who's coming up and those kind of things. But it just kind of evolves, and until you find that what works for you.
And it's I think it's as far as getting through those emails, it's I will recommend for clients to use a timer.
Okay.
And when they come in the morning in the office, maybe that's not the first thing you do. If you could set aside about 90 minutes to do the most important thing that you have to do that day, whether it's talk to a client or type out a proposal or go through something that you didn't finish looking at yesterday, whatever it is, and then you go into your email and then go on with the rest of your day. I know before I got the smartphone, I would tell clients, if you are emailing me all day, I am not getting it because I do not look at my email until 8 o'clock at night. So if you need to get me, please call me. Of course, now they text me. That's what I tell people. Years ago, if someone called you and you weren't there, they called you back.
Or they left a message on your answering machine.
Well, this is even before that.
Okay.
And then when you got voicemail, so then they'd leave a message on your phone. But now they text you and they email you as well as leave a message.
And if they leave you a voicemail and your voicemail system sends you an email telling you that you have a voicemail from the person who just emailed you. And I mean, and that's the multiplying effect of what's in our electronic clutter that's out there that we're having to deal with.
I know. It's huge.
One of my favorite tools, and I don't know if you've used it, I love my electronic digital pen because I can write on my paper. It's handwritten notes. I can still be interfacing with my client. And I can actually record the meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And I can have the handwritten notes. And then if I go back to the office, I connect that to my computer in its little docking station. It takes it over. And then there's an application that can go in and retype the notes if we want it.
Yeah, I have a new phablet, they call it. It's a tablet and a phone. And,
okay.
And it has a pen. And so I can make my notes and everything. And I just have to mentally always remind myself, I am holding a small computer. It's not a phone. I can make calls with it, but it's actually a small computer, and I can do so much with it. And remind myself to do some of the things while I'm on the road. So now I can look at my email all day and stuff like that. So I get a better handle on it. But still, it takes time. If I'm working with a client, I turn my phone off.
Right.
I'm concentrated solely on them. So while that's happening, then you're getting calls and emails and everything else. And so
you turn it on, and there's 620 things, right? Sitting in your inbox going, okay, yeah. Which, you know, how do we find it? You know, I've tried sorting by date. I've sorted by, you know, names or recipients, and then the spam filters that, you know, you have to go in and sort through your spam documents because it's not always right.
I know. I found it was a client that was trying to get a hold of me for 2 weeks, and that's where his stuff was in the spam thing. So
it's like, you know, I try to tell my clients, if you haven't gotten something back acknowledging it within 24 hours, because I'm more of an email person than I am a phone person. I'm unlikely to answer my cell phone during the day. If I haven't responded, say, yes, I've gotten this, check to make sure, call me.
Right.
Leave me a voicemail message if necessary to say, I sent you something that I needed to look at.
Right.
And it's, but again, the more information we have out there, we're dealing with hundreds of books coming out from every publisher. We're dealing with trying to keep up professional stuff. We're keeping our files up, keeping up with your clients, keeping up with your family. And the more disorganized we are, the more stressful it becomes, because you're wasting time that's valuable time that we, you know, you said we had 7 days a week, and some people are arguing we need 8.
Right, I know. I know. Every Christmas my kids ask me what I want, and I'll say more time.
Right.
And you can't give me that, so.
Right. And
you have to decide what's important to you.
We have to carve that out and give ourselves the time to get organized. And we have 3 more days in the month. Today's the 28th. So I want to challenge everyone to take away from the show, and I want you to give them 3 tips that they can do in the next 3 days, that something simple that can get them started if they haven't gotten started, about maybe setting the time, making that appointment with themselves, starting to explore what they can do to improve their atmosphere, and just kind of give us something that's going to jumpstart us. We've already said 15 minutes. What could they do tomorrow? In 15 minutes, if they made an appointment with themselves tomorrow,
They could sort through the papers that have been piling up either in their kitchen or their office or their inbox, that they could just make some quick decisions on. Like, I will often set up a command center for a busy mother, and that's, or even someone in their office, and that's just a small container with a few hanging files labeled with words that mean the most to you. Because I can always tell people, I can always come in and make a whiz-bang filing system, but it'll be my system, and it's not the point. It has to be your system. And so instead of saying to call who, or to call what, or make it more specific, like, if I don't do this, I'm getting fired. So this is the I'm getting fired folder, or warm fuzzies folder. I created all kinds of crazy names for people, but it means something to them, and they will look at that folder and know what to do with it. And so when they bring the mail in, the first thing they do is open it, which I've been paid to open mail.
I have too, and I'm much too expensive to be opening mail.
I know. Me too, but and I think it has something to do with having to make a decision once you open it, and so it paralyzes people.
That was what one of my clients said. He said he could not tell what was junk mail. He had relocated here to the United States from another country. He says, I can't distinguish between junk mail and real mail. And so he needed that help in that process of saying, is this really something related to my patent? Or is this some kind of fraud scam coming from some country and those kind of things?
Yeah. And so trying to get off mailing lists as much as you can so that you don't get as much as this.
So
stuff.
Is there a central place you can go off to get off
you
mailing lists?
I believe it's a direct marketing center.
Okay.
I didn't bring that with me, but you can go on my website.
Give them your website. We haven't done that today.
www.organizeclutter.com. It's organizeclutter. And I have a lot of resources. I have a resource page, and you can look up all kinds of things there. To get off catalogs, there's catalogchoice.org. So there's different things you can, once you just eliminate some of this stuff from even getting to your mailbox, you got half the battle won, hopefully. Then you're just dealing with this other mail.
Yeah, if you can get it down to just the stuff you have to interface with.
Right, right. Okay. And so many things can be done online now with bills and things like that. So that can be eliminated. You can get your investments online, things like that. So that eliminates a whole lot of mail from your life, and then you have less to deal with. So that's one thing. Another thing I would just tell people is that you have to remember that everything you bring into your life needs something from you. It needs time, money, energy, or space. So when you bring that thing into your life, whether it's a book, a new dress that needs to be dry cleaned every time you wear it, or whatever, it needs something. It's already taken your money, so it's, if you need to dry clean it every time you wear it,
it's going
to
take more
time,
money,
right, and more money. Where's that book going? Is it going, are you going to read it, or is it going to go on the counter with the other books that you haven't read? And it's taking up space. So it just, when you have your hand on that thing in the store that you're going to buy, whatever it is, think about, where's it going to go, and do I need it, and do I already have one, and maybe I can wait a day or two and come back if I don't, if I've already have one at home.
Step away from the register before you buy it and think about it.
Think about it. And I've told some of my clients lately, shop at home first, because most people have stuff at home. And maybe it will take a little while to find it, but you probably have it at home already, and you'll save some money.
Well, and one thing in, one thing out is what I've heard.
One in, one out. Yeah, that's a big
rule. So if you bring in a dress,
an old dress goes out. I tell people to, you know, set up boundaries. If you don't want to do the timer thing because it bugs you, because the tick, tick, tick thing bugs you, then pull out 5 magazines and go through them and stop. Or just sort through all your blouses and stop. You don't have to do the whole closet. You don't have to do every magazine in the house.
So find something manageable that you can do in a short amount of time that won't overload you, and it can demonstrate success. I sorted through my blouses.
Right. Or give yourself, you have 12 hangers with 12 white blouses, and you buy another white blouse, and one of those 12 has to go. So you only have 12 hangers for those blouses. So.
And there's only 7 days in the week, so why do you need 12 white blouses?
That's right. Yeah, so. Or 35 pairs of black pants.
Well, no, I don't think. I think I have 7 pairs of black pants, but that's just...
black fades when you wash it, so that's what I hear all the time.
So. Yeah, one of these days they'll figure out a way to make our lives easier when it comes to that, although they keep telling us there's those products out there. But yes, everything fades with time. Our memories fade with time. So can you give us like one... You said list some things, take an inventory. So what other one memory thing could we possibly have for organizing... that we can, you did CEO.
Right.
That we wanted to categorize, we wanted to eliminate, and then we wanted to organize. Is there something else that can get us started and keep us motivated in that process?
Well, the thing that you can never buy, like we talked about time. So I often will ask people, would you rather be working with this stuff and dusting knickknacks, or would you rather be out there creating a memory, whether it's with your grandchildren or your family or your friends, by having lunch or going to an event? Or making a memory is always more important to me than dealing with the stuff, because the stuff could all go away. If you have a fire, you'll lose it all, but you cannot go back and reclaim time and the time you've lost on dealing with the stuff. So let's see, one thing I'm thinking.
Is it, are there visual, like we did color coding cues, we did different things like that. Is there something that, as you're going out the door in the morning maybe, or before you go to bed at night, that can remind you where you put your keys or where you put your purse or something?
Well, there's always that tip. If you can, whatever you can do at night before you go to bed to make your morning much more productive, try to do it the night before instead of trying to get up early and try to, some people, if you're a morning person, then that would be opposite, but a lot of people, if you're up late at night, you want to make sure that the kids' book bags are there, your lunch or whatever is done, or you can do it quickly so that you can get out of the house early in the morning. If you set up somewhere where the keys are always there, then that's always better than having to look all over the house for them.
Well, I want to thank you, Eileen, for being with us today. It's been a great show. And give them your website one more time really quickly before we close.
Okay, it's www.organizeclutter.com, O-R-G-A-N-I-Z-E CLUTTER.com.
All right, thanks, and we'll see you all. We'll talk to you all next week.